Good evening. Welcome to the special meeting of the Planning Commission for February 28th. We will begin with introductions here at the diocese.
Good evening. My name is Richard Shattuck. I am with Central Kitsap.
Good evening. I'm Alan Beam. I represent Central Kitsap.
I'm Joe Phillips from North Kitsap. And online is
Stephen Bowe from Central Kitsap.
All right. Yeah.
And Stacy Smith representing South Kitsap.
All right, thank you. And we do have a quorum, so we can go forward with this. The virtual meeting protocols, we ask that everybody silence their electronic devices during the meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. Since this is a special meeting, there will be no public comments or testifying, so we can skip that. And that should do it. So do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor of the proposed agenda? Okay. I see Commissioner Murphy has joined us. Thank you. All right. Tonight, we have the deliberation recommendations for the 2024 Comprehensive Plan Update Preliminary Alternative Development. And Mr. Baker will open our discussions.
Excellent. Thank you. For the record, my name is Eric Baker. I'm the Deputy County Administrator for Kitsap County. The purpose of today's meeting is obviously we had the public testimony, both we've received written testimony, we've seen oral testimony. This meeting is for the Planning Commission to kind of discuss elements of the testimony you heard, as well as the maps and some of the policies that are coming along with each of the alternatives. What we're doing at this point is we're really establishing the sideboards of the environmental review. We have no expectation that anyone says, I love this alternative and I don't like any of the others, or that this is the one we absolutely need to go with right now. The important part is that we have the most opportunities in that you think is reasonable so that we can do environmental review on it. And if there are certain areas that need to come out, that those are also considered, if at all possible. Obviously, from the public testimony, we got a lot of testimony about people who were inside the alternatives. They just wanted oftentimes to either support their position in their testimony or B, they wanted to be in a different alternative. We obviously had two in the both written and oral, two key areas of concern slash support. One of which was the area south of Barker Creek, and the other one was an area south of Sedgwick Road on Phillips. We got a lot of testimony on those two areas. We also had a lot of support for farmland, as that farmland testimony seemed to gravitate to the concern about providing additional development opportunities in the rural areas that make rural land more expensive. That seemed to be the crux of a lot of the testimony. I'm certain there's a lot of other things the farming community would like to see, but again, as it applies to alternatives, it really comes down to how to affect the price of land as it applies to farming. I think we've provided to you the list of the written comment that we've received in its entirety. A lot of it, again, does kind of fall into some of these key categories. The Planning Commission is not expected to make motions. It's not expected to adopt or anything. There won't be findings of fact. The important part is for the Planning Commission to ask questions and to propose changes to the alternatives that, again, set what you feel are adequate sideboards, so that when the environmental impact statement is complete in September or October, that the public, staff, and the Planning Commission will have enough information to be able to winnow the various elements of three alternatives down to one preferred alternative. So I just want to make sure that we don't need the perfect answer today. What we need is we need, what are all the elements that could go into a future preferred best case scenario? That, again, is to be determined sometime by the end of this year or beginning of next. With that preface, are there any questions from the planning commissioners about, I guess, generally what we're hoping to achieve tonight? Concerns or objections to what I'm asking for?
I guess the methodology will be what this is going to be. As Mr. Baker points out, we're not doing motions, we're not doing finding of facts. It's a discussion of what should be in, what shouldn't be in the sideboards, as Mr. Baker says, and I'm emphasizing that because we heard a lot of people saying they didn't like this portion, that portion. Right now, all we're doing is deciding on what the environmental impact statement will address. So with that, does anybody have questions for Mr. Baker at this time? I'm sure we'll be bringing him back and forth.
Yeah, I do believe also, it's kind of how it would be most beneficial to move through this. I can go through the maps kind of north to south and basically say, here's some of the places that you saw testimony on, so that it's clear who's in the alternatives, who's not in the alternatives. So you know exactly which are the ones most important to talk about, because if they're left out of an alternative, they may not be able to be considered later on. And those really are the most important elements for the Planning Commission to discuss tonight, who might be left on the outside looking in as we move forward.
Well, let's address the first part of that, which is the rural zone request for change. Mm-hmm. There was I believe the planners did a deliberate cut of those people in the rural area trying to create their own little spot zone were definitely going to be left out. Is that correct?
There are certain folks who did not make, who are not in any of the alternatives. We received 80 something reclassification requests. Pretty much, I think about 75 of them are in there. The folks who aren't in there are folks who requested zoning that is incompatible with GMA, 1 acre zoning in the rural areas, 2.5 acre lot sizes in the rural areas, urban zoning in the rural areas. Also, there are certain folks who were perceived as spot zones. There's a big zone, and then they took out just their parcel and they wanted it to be something different, even if it was an allowed rural zone. Spot zoning is something that is singled out by GMA as negative. There is one particular individual who submitted written testimony, a Mr. Wixon, who is concerned about not being in the alternative. I can cover exactly what area that might be. Again, he's up by Kingston, so if it is a value, we can kind of walk through some of the testimony and some of the areas of testimony. But it really comes down to what is most valuable for the Planning Commission.
Okay. Commissioner Beam.
Just for the edification process for the commissioners, can you talk about what a rezone is versus a comp plan alt is, mm-hmm. and why it's important for us to be discussing these things?
Yes. In general, obviously, jurisdictions establish their zoning maps every 10 years as part of their comp plan. That's kind of the time that they look at everything all at once. However, in between those 10-year marks where you do these updates, there are opportunities to change either the zoning of your property or the comprehensive plan designation. In many ways, those are similar, but they are not identical. Comprehensive plan designations, like the difference between commercial and residential, those can only be changed on a annual basis if the board is deciding that they're going to take reclassification requests, or I'm sorry, site-specific requests. The Planning Commission has seen those before. An example on a large scale would be Dickey Pitt, but then there's a series of other smaller ones. Those folks are coming forward saying, I have current residential zone or residential designation. I'd like to have a commercial designation. That can be done annually, and that's any year. But also, there is a concept called rezoning, Comprehensive plan designations are made up of a number of zones. For example, a low density residential comp plan designation would include zones like urban low, urban restricted, and greenbelt. So if somebody, as they are going through their permitting process, wanted to propose a rezone, I want to go from urban restricted to urban low inside the same comp plan designation, that can be done at any time as part of a standard quasi-judicial permit application. So while obviously we want to get as much done in 2024 as possible, there are opportunities in 25, 6, 7 to make additional changes as conditions warrant. And I say that especially because everything that we're going to be discussing in the next few years is not likely going to be educated as much by the COVID pandemic as you would potentially expect. We don't know if that is a blip or that is a paradigm shift. 3, 4, 5 years from now, we'll know if some of the telecommuting and other things really is affecting growth patterns in a way, in which case then we may have to reconsider a number of the things we're doing in the 24 update. So I want everyone to feel like this is not people's only shot, though that does not diminish the need to make sure that we are being as thoughtful with these decisions as possible, especially as it applies to the urban growth areas, which are the areas that is one of the most important things for us to get right. So we're providing the housing stock necessary to hopefully slow down our current housing crisis.
We got a lot of comments about, quote, rezoning. Mm-hmm. Well, each of those people have a formal process to say yes or no and explain why?
They are all rolled into the individual alternatives. Once the preliminary alternatives were put out in February, we sent out letters to each one of them indicating whether they are in an alternative, and if so, which one, and that we recommended they come and they participate in this process. Generally, the folks who were not in one of these alternatives fell into one of the categories I just described. We were very, I don't know whether liberal or conservative is the right words to use. And we were very broad in bringing in as many things as we thought were appropriate. And we really only left out the folks who, again, were just flatly, we know we can't do that anymore. So they've all been notified of where they are, and we do expect them to continue to participate in this process. And I think you did see Mr. Wixon come forward. And then you saw, of course, all the people who are in the alternatives coming to make sure that they support their continued inclusion.
Any other questions at this time? Yes. Commissioner Murphy.
Just one point of clarification for Mr. Baker. In the past, we used to use the terminology site-specific, right? Mm-hmm. And is that correlating with a different term? Is that why I'm not hearing it, or did I miss it? But your point is that we used to do those once a year, but we definitely haven't for the individual parcel owner for a couple of years. Is that just a COVID thing? Can you elaborate?
Generally, site specifics are a process that are done in off years that aren't related to a comprehensive plan amendment. If you remember the criteria for site specifics, there are so many, the conditions of the comprehensive plan have changed, or your proposal advocates for something that improves an inconsistency. Because we're updating the entirety of the plan, you really can't use those criteria particularly well because all the elements of the comp plan could be shifting. The Board of County Commissioners has the option of opening a site-specific process every year. They are not required to. COVID was part of the reason why we have not had site-specific processes over the last 2 years. But it is also, the board can elect not to have one for this particular year, and that can be done for any kind of discretion, not discretionary, but legislative reasoning. So yes, you're correct, we have not had them. But the reason we don't use the word site-specific, instead we're using reclassification request, is because we want to make sure it's abundantly clear that the criteria of the site-specific requests are not the ones we're reviewing this by. We're reviewing them as part of the holistic comprehensive plan update and all the changes to goals and policies versus someone standing alone and having to compare themselves to an adopted firm document, which again, is not what we're currently developing. We're developing something that is planned on changing.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate the clarification. I think that probably helps more than just me.
Okay. Does anybody have some opinions or thoughts about which way to go as far as, Commissioner Shedd?
Well, I think Eric's idea of just kind of walking through the maps might be a good basis. And as questions come up, I've got questions in the various areas.
Okay.
And so maybe that'd be the most efficient way to work through it.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Yep. I'm going to splash it on the screen. See if I can successfully make this work. Yeah. Can you go down to the Kingston map so I don't, on map slide 10? Let's start. Okay, so this one is alternative one. This is how we are today. We're going to start in Kingston. Some of the places that you have seen testimony. Okay, so the first area that you are seeing that we receive testimony is for. Wants to do it. Can you click next slide for me? Okay, so you see this area up here in blue, located just north of State Highway 104. Mr. Proctor has come in and has made some potential statements that the entirety of that blue area might not be exactly what he is looking for. Instead, there is an area of that is located along the highway that might be appropriate for urban medium zoning versus urban restricted zoning. And urban restricted is, again, a very low density zone. Obviously, urban medium allows for higher densities. He has come into a number of meetings indicating that would be of particular value to him. Mr. Wixon, the gentleman that came or that has submitted a substantial amount of written testimony, a good amount of analysis, he unfortunately is not on this map. It is actually down just south of, you see where South Kingston Road appears. He's down just a little bit south of that. What he is he's in a rural protection zone, which is one dwelling per 10 acres. He owns a number of parcels. And then he's asking for rural residential. That is one dwelling per 5 acres. When we looked at it initially, it looked like he was requesting a spot zone, though, as you can see from his documentation that no, other people around him are also asking for the change. So when you kind of combine them all together, it's no longer a spot zone. Thus, staff can definitely see the argument for his inclusion in alternative three based upon the new analysis. And that would be something that if the Planning Commission saw merit, we could definitely proceed down in that direction. Were there any other commentary? There wasn't a lot of commentary on Kingston as a whole.
No.
There are things about the Kingston UGA the Planning Commission has any questions about?
Go ahead.
Oh, you're a North guy. Go ahead.
Is there a way to show, the difference between alternate two and alternate three, as I believe, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So what you see here is a relatively small number of urban growth area expansions. The main expansion is, again, a piece of arborwood, that olive color down in the south going in, and then that urban medium brown kind of L shape to the north. Both the brown to the north is included in alternative two, as it provides multifamily housing options, which is important, and it is on Lindvog Road. It is the same zoning as the other side of Lindvog Road. And if you are going to sink a sewer line in Lindvog Road, you would really want to be able to serve both sides of the road, if at all possible. So thus, that's why it was included.
Okay.
Are there other colors on this map that you'd like some illustration of? Obviously, the pink located right down there isn't a UGA expansion. That's in the UGA. That is just a rezone from or a change from urban low to urban village center. So instead of a low density residential zone, you're now talking about a mixed use multifamily zone. And those lots are owned by the Port of Kingston. So they're interested in combining it with the rest of their ownership.
Right. Commissioner Shattuck.
Yeah, I guess I had the same thoughts you did, Eric. I didn't see a whole lot of input other than from Mr. Wixon and from Mr. Proctor. So I know it's not a motion, but I would certainly would be my opinion that the Wixon proposed change seems appropriate given the zone he's in, and that's something that should be included in alternative three.
Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah, I think I can agree with Commissioner Shattuck in that regard. If you switched over to three, the other question I think I would have, thank you, would be what is the county's opinion about the lack of sort of input or recommendations from the public compared to a forecast of over 100% growth inside city limits on the 2020 or 2044 forecast? Should we be doing more? Should we have more ideas than just the handful of people that weighed in?
We have had a very robust conversation with the Kingston Citizens Advisory Committee. Actually, a majority of our public meetings thus far are folks in the North End in the Kingston area. What we are seeing is there is going to be a very difficult high bar for urban growth area expansions, especially urban growth area expansions that don't include multifamily housing, as that is what our main issue is. From staff's perspective, the options that you see here are a good collection to be able to meet our growth, both population, employment, and probably housing. I will put a caveat on the housing targets, as I'm not absolutely certain what they look like yet. And they are very different in the drafts that we've seen from other things we've seen in the past. It's a little concerning. But what we have here is a good cornucopia of options that are on parcels that could be logical for including, depending on how you want to go about growing. This alternative here does not include as much upzoning in the interior. But again, that was the intent of alternative three, which was to be the most dispersed option so that you could pick from these and potentially pair with something in alternative two, which did put more density inside the urban growth area boundaries.
Right. And Eric, if you don't mind, the sequencing with regard to when we do buildable lands, which does that sort of population versus how many doorknobs versus how many jobs, when is that in our sequencing?
The last time we did one, we adopted the buildable lands report in 2021. The next one would be in 2026.
Okay.
We will have our 2024 comprehensive plan. And then with some new legislative changes, we will be responsible for reviewing our comprehensive plan that we adopt in 2024 in 2029, predominantly to ensure that we are meeting housing goals. So the while the 10-year update has now gotten wider, it used to be 8, there are now many more stops along the way in which the government and local jurisdictions have to show we are making progress towards what we say we want to be when we grow up.
Okay.
Thanks.
So really understanding that this is strictly just where are we going to get the environmental impact study covering? I don't see any reason to exclude any of the alternate threes in the Kingston area.
And staff wouldn't recommend. I guess one thing would be beneficial is, do any of the planning commissioners have concerns about the inclusion of Mr. Wixon's properties? As again, the key component is we want to make sure whether in alternative two or alternative three is An important difference, but more semantic at this level versus whether you're in or out of an alternative altogether. So I think it would be important for staff to make sure we fully understand if there's any planning commission opposition to the inclusion of Mr. Wixon. That does not necessarily mean he would end up in the preferred alternative. That just means that he would be in the environmental impact statement.
I would say right now, I don't see anybody frothing at the mouth, so I think he should be included.
All right. Any other comments regarding Kingston at this point? Oops. Where am I? There we go. All right, so Poulsbo only has one change. We did not receive any testimony on this. We have been working very closely with the city of Poulsbo. They do believe that they could accommodate most of their growth for their area inside their city without needing any additional urban growth area expansion, with the only thing that they are proposing there is, again, the inclusion of Snyder Field. They are not looking to convert Snyder Field. They're looking to take ownership of it and maintain it in its current format. Are there any questions about Poulsbo, regardless of the lack of testimony?
I just vote yay for baseball.
Yay. Yep, spring training. Okay, well, here's one area that definitely probably will, we got a lot of testimony on this area. Obviously, a lot of our focus in alternative two here is, again, increasing densities in that urban core. So a majority of the changes in this are increasing densities, increasing assumptions, and putting in a lot of incentives and regulatory relaxation to make multifamily more affordable and easier to construct. However, there are two areas that are included in alternative two. Those are those two areas in yellow up to the north. And then we also received testimony from Bernie Kenworthy about some of those. Let's see, is there a red dot on there? See, I don't want to screw this up. Yep, I'm good. They won't be able to see it on TV.
But we would see that one over there.
Okay. The people on TV can't see it though. So there is a little piece here off Silverdale Way that is the business center that was being proposed and the urban medium. Those are in this alternative. So I think the big question for the Silverdale UGA, again, with the idea that we're really trying to look at what should be inside the environmental review, of course, is that big yellow rectangle south of Island Lake, that we received a substantial amount of testimony in opposition. Mr. Holmes also came and testified as to the purpose of that proposal. That white square next to it is proceeding forward with a form of development that used to be the Christian camp. It is now going to be some form of residential construction. And I believe that they are looking to add on to that.
Can you just point where these are? The existing
Krista,
right there.
At the test point, it's already been rezoned.
Yeah, that's already in. So that is currently under permitting. It's this one here that we received all the testimony. Barker Creek runs right down through here along this and then out through here. So the testimony we received obviously had concerns about traffic on the Central Valley Road, as well as with traffic on the Central Valley Road and the environmental impacts of urban development along Barker Creek. Some people were concerned about how it impact Island Lake. Actually, Island Lake drains away from it. So the bigger question is how it would affect the lower strands or right there. That's the North Kitsap parcel.
Yeah.
That's a separate the property owner who I have not spoken with, North Kitsap, Levi Holmes.
Then there's two parcels below that one
Yes.
that are also within that Yes. Now,
Staff definitely understands the environmental concern related to it. But again, one of the purposes of the environmental impact statement is to take perceptions and provide some kind of data to either support or debunk it. I'm not saying that the environmental impact statement is going to be a smoking gun that is either going to say yes or no, but it will provide data that will either support some of the folks' testimony that yes, there could be environmental degradation and damage to the creek that could occur from this, or support the other position indicating that this could actually be a net improvement to the creek. This would be at a 30,000 foot level. Again, not necessarily a smoking gun, but the reason staff has included this in there is so that we can have an environmental impact statement and a capital facilities plan, because transportation is going to be an issue with that yellow rectangular area. How it's going to get out of there. Obviously, Central Valley Road is one option. Another one is coming down around Island Lake and then down into Silverdale. Both of those are on roadways that are not necessarily currently designed for substantial amounts of traffic, and that would be calculated in the EIS.
Okay, go ahead.
Eric, the one thing that was surprising, we had the letter from Rick Cadwell about the downzoning. And can you show us where the downzoning area
is? Yes, the downzoning is, he has a current project that is located right here south of Buckland Hill Road. There are some businesses along Buckland Hill Road, and then south of that, he has a project that is currently under permitting. The neighbors have appealed his project, and they're kind of going back and forth on varying conditions. Obviously, it is something that is somewhat... It's definitely a neighborhood dispute in a lot of ways. The reason it is included here in alternative three is that it is surrounded by urban restricted. So their request, while not from the property owner, that you could make an argument could potentially be appropriate. However, the purpose of it with an active project on it, let's say hypothetically it did change zoning. If that project were to move forward, it would just continue to move forward because it's a vested application.
But again, one of the goals we set in setting alternative three was to have the widest possible potential impact of what could happen. And it seemed to me that looking at alternative three with a down zone is inconsistent with that goal. Wouldn't we be better saying, no, let's assume it's going to stay zoned the way it is, and that'll give us a better figure with our SEPA?
Well, the reason we put it in alternative three is it basically the largest possible need for urban growth area. And obviously the zone it has today is a regional center. So it has a lot of capacity today. Urban restricted would mean it would have less capacity, which means the UGAs get pushed out to accommodate that additional loss. Thus why it's in this alternative. It is a down zone, but it is a down zone that has an impact on pushing out growth versus putting it in the compact center. The bigger question is, due to the fact that it is currently being litigated, are there other things working in this that might not necessarily be 100% appropriate for a comprehensive plan? However, again, this is just reviewing it for environmental impacts, not making a final decision.
I'm assuming that the blue is Dickey Pit.
No, the blue, Dickey Pit is actually inside the existing urban growth area boundary. That is located right in through here. So it is already calculated in as the existing condition. So it is what we have right now. This area up here is the Sterling Heights development. As you move up Anderson Hill Road, you'll see a number of homes that are down, and there are some wetlands on either side of it. That was a vested project that was approved when it was inside a UGA. Now it's outside of a UGA. It has a sewer line and it has urban development. However, it is also heavily constrained by steep slopes and critical areas. So in general, this is a lot of acreage for a limited amount of capacity, which again, alternative three spreads it out more. The question ultimately will be, is that a wise decision?
The other question would be, is there anything in two that is excluded when you go to three?
No. Three is additive to two. The only thing that changes predominantly is all the folks that we are putting in, that we are planning for the downtown in alternative two are now not going into the downtown. They're now going out here. They're now going out here. And they're going down here.
Just focus on that still for 1 second. When we had to downzone to meet growth management area, and we downzoned this area, I know Sterling was vested, but we also downzoned some of the property to the east of Sterling. And so it was horrible because those people got hit with higher taxes and they got downzoned. They didn't get vested. So if you go back to two, I think that some of that property to the east is now going to be
right there.
Yeah, right on the line. There's a couple of properties that I know. One's a Hearst property that is right abutting Sterling Homes.
Okay. Yeah. Those folks have come in for a reclassification request, and that's why they're also in alternative three.
Okay.
At this point.
Yeah.
That area as urban restricted. It is roughly consistent with the area due to its critical area constraints.
So there was no request for rezoning on the Sterling Heights?
No, that was one that we have urban services in a rural area. So it just makes sense to consider urban services potentially in a UGA. Unfortunately, it is an area that has urban services, but also has very limited development capacity. So you're adding a lot of land, but you're not getting a lot of places to put people.
Right.
And you have the argument that you potentially could be impacting, could be impacting critical areas.
Yeah, that kind of threw me because when I looked at the reclassification zoning map through AG, mm-hmm. AGS, it wasn't noted there.
No,
so
it's very much like that portion of Arborwood, that olive colored triangle on the end. It wasn't a part of a reclassification request, but that part is part of a vested project that has rights to sewer, et cetera. Whether you're inside a UGA or outside a UGA, you're going to be able to do urban development. So again, it's just one of those that just is trying to clean up past issues.
Okay. Well, I guess it's, go ahead.
No. I know we don't have anything on the between Silverdale and kind of the south end. I don't think that we're going to look at, but we did have the one Dumont Alford, mm-hmm. Tracyton Public House fix. And I understand that's been fixed. Is that?
There's a couple others. Unless there's others in the Silverdale area that you want to bring forward. What we have is the CK UGA just had a couple little tiny changes. No one really testified related to it, but is an area of let's go there. An area of rural commercial that's going urban commercial, then establishing that center down around McWilliams Road. So, but what you're talking about? We also in alternative three had some folks who are looking at eating into the Barker Creek corridor. This is that rural corridor. Remember I showed you Barker Creek coming all the way down. This area is rural, both in alternatives three for Silverdale, which is over here, and alternative three for CK, people are starting to nibble into that.
Right.
They are both being considered. The rural corridor is still there. However, this area is still pretty highly critical area constrained. These parcels, not so much. They are requesting low density residential. Again, something that fits in alternative three does not fit in alternative two and could face some challenges as we try to deal with our housing diversity issues. Because we have a lot of this type of zoning currently in the UGAs.
Okay. Could we back up to the Silverdale UGA?
Of course.
And I would like to know if anybody on the board, Planning Commission, objects to anything being If we do alternate three, that means all of that is going to be studied. Is there any objection from any member on doing that? I think that's the pertinent question right now. If we go with just, we did Kingston. Now, if we do Silverdale, because in my mind, we might as well include all of this in the study to see what, the data will yield and show us.
Commissioner Phillips?
Excuse me?
Yeah, hi, Commissioner Phillips. I do have concerns regarding Barker Creek area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be my concern there. And my trust in the environmental impact of it, whether it will still continue regardless of that. So I am looking at the testimony and of the people that are surrounding that area. I do have concerns moving forward in that area. The rest I'm fairly open with.
Okay. And I'm assuming, Mr. Bowe, that you would you're not including the two properties to the north of
No.
Island Lake, just the properties below.
Yeah.
I understand your concern on that. And actually, there's four properties below Island Lake that are on the Barker Creek zone.
There are, again, these three located up through here. Then there is, the fourth one, which is located down by closer to the mouth and
right.
Definitely in the, so yes.
Right.
The Planning Commission doesn't necessarily have to come to consensus on this. I think right. Just that the Planning Commission is really speaking their minds about right. How they feel about this. Obviously, the environmental impact statement will come and people may have the opportunity to change their minds over time. That being said, it's really important that we just get it on tape that people have concerns. So I really appreciate right. You bringing that up. And anyone else who might have these types of concerns, because the board's going to want to see that kind of discussion, since we're not going to have a formal adopted recommendation.
Right. I think I would actually mimic Mr. Baker on the concern with the kind of periwinkle blue that appears to be, I can't read that. That's like a three font from where I sit on the legend, but referring to the amount of land versus the amount of doors that could actually be created to help our problem, our biggest problem in the county. I understand that from a utilities perspective, it's there, but if from a wetlands or geotech or whatever else is going to come into play there, if you're, if that old thing's getting me 16 houses, not 1600, then that looks like a lot of acreage to study without a lot of result.
Well, but then are you using the single house model on that property? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's urban, then we can use different models, not just single family homes, to situate into that area would be my take on that.
Go ahead. Mr. Shattuck?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One on the Sterling Hills, again, right now, there is an area between Sterling Hills, that development, and the UGA line. There's some properties, so these poor properties, they're in a no man's land between two parts of a city area. So Eric has called it, I think, cleaning up. The reality is it just reflects what should be. The people there between Sterling and the line of the UGA shouldn't be this little area of rural. So, but again, the study would show that. And Mr. Bowe, with regard to the 95 acres. Again, we did have testimony about it's not just a developer. The developer is working with the tribal organizations, working with other stakeholders. And again, having a study, I think, makes a great deal of sense if we may need that area either now or in the future. So that's my thought on it.
I would say that the study doesn't say yes or no. It provides the data for a decision to be made down the line. We're not making that decision at this time. Even, you know, and I understand we heard a lot of testimony that we shouldn't be touching that. And at this point, no, I think we should study it to make sure that if it is what people believe, we can say, yep, you're right. Or say, no, it can be developed, but in a very careful manner.
Yeah, as long as we're paying close attention to it, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and we can easily, obviously the board is going to be able to watch this entire video, and they will. And we will make sure that we illustrate that the Planning Commission is of multiple minds on both of those areas at this point, so that the board understands these concerns, both at the summary level, but also at the full video level.
Okay. Any last comments about the Silverdale UGA? Okay. On to Central.
Okay, we think we talked about Central. I think I got ahead of myself. I guess to a degree, these changes are relatively smaller. I do expect there to be a substantial amount of comment from the local tribes on these. Do we want to weigh in on these proposals? Or I guess I don't think necessarily in some of these they're coming up because the changes are so small, whether we need necessarily to say yay or nay to the entire UGA. But if there are particular elements of the CK UGA that the individual planning commissioners want to weigh in on at this point, I think that would be great to have both on the record and summarized for the board.
So I have a question, Eric. What's this small red parcel?
A small red parcel. Sketch, go over here. Can you put the little?
Oh, it's kind of like
right there.
Right there. Yep.
Yep. That area in through there is in both alternatives 2 and 3. It is currently rural commercial. It's right on the edge of the UGA boundary. Generally, rural commercial isn't on the edge of the UGA boundary. It's really meant for isolated services that produce services just for the rural area. Because it's right next to the UGA boundary, it would make sense that any kind of industrial use be able to benefit from sewer, especially if there are certain discharges that could be created from there. Thus, instead of it being rural commercial, is being proposed as urban commercial.
Really tied to housing, but tied to more business.
Yes, there are a number of changes that are related to employment, but most of those are all located in the West Bremerton UGA, which we'll hit here in a minute, as well as the Puget Sound Industrial Center, Bremerton. All right. Oops, the wrong button. Now we got operator error. Okay, adjacent to the CK UGA, yet its own thing, is the East Bremerton UGA, which largely wraps around this portion of the city, including Tracedon Beach Road, Anatai Beach, and everything pretty much south of Illihee. There are pretty much very few proposed changes in this one. What you'll see is you will see a request for a very small change to commercial located down here south of the Perry Avenue Mall. And then actually that brown chunk that you see there was looking to go from commercial to urban medium. That area is actually, that individual has actually withdrawn their proposal. So that one will be coming out. They want to remain commercial. It was an old request that they are no longer interested in. I think one thing we did not cover is the tavern that you're referring to. Unfortunately, I don't think I have a slide related to it. There is a small piece. If you've been to the Tracedon Tavern, there's the parking lot, and then just south of the parking lot, there's a home. The way that the zoning currently works is that home is zoned commercial. It was done that way because the parking lot kind of overlapped the property line in a certain way. So they wanted to be able to get permitting. They needed to make that change. Now that has been addressed, they want to correct that and basically have the residential parcel be zoned residential and the commercial parcel be zoned commercial. As Ms. Kenworthy laid out, that has been an issue with actually future permitting to address some stormwater issues. Again, it is a very small change and one that is supported in both alternatives 2 and 3. So the West Bremerton urban growth area is, again, like I've said previously, this weird amalgamation of Rocky Point, West Hills, Navy Yard City, and then the Sherman Heights area. Again, all surrounded by the city of Bremerton to varying degrees. The main changes that you see here are some requests from the city of Bremerton. They did not come in to testify, but they are on record indicating that they're very interested in those two areas in yellow on the left-hand side of the map, both south of Kitsap Lake and north of Kitsap Lake. The one north of Kitsap Lake has sewer service, about half of it does. The rest of it would be connected sometime in the future. The southern area is intended so that they can maintain full autonomy for the entirety of Kitsap Lake. Everything else around Kitsap Lake is inside the city, thus they're interested in that being included in the city. Going back to Commissioner Smith, your conversation about employment, that area of purple that you see there is a proposed addition to the urban growth area boundary. It's currently the quarry, the Kitsap Quarry, which has been in going for 40 or 50 years. It now has been depleted. It is looking to restore itself into something new because it's a already denuded area. And also it is located right off Warner Road. Warner Road has easy access to the highway. The property owner is requesting that it be included inside the urban growth area boundary. One thing I do want to note in alternative 2 is that this is only part, alternative 2 only includes half their proposal. Alternative 3 includes the remainder of their proposal, which again is more industrial which will create a greater number of job opportunities. We only have a limited amount of job opportunities, so it's included in alternative 3 for, again, environmental review, while alternative 2 was closer to the current employment target. We didn't receive any testimony, either written or oral, regarding the West Bremerton UGA. Anything the Planning Commission would like to discuss as it relates to these, other than, wow, that's a weird boundary? So the Gorst area is staying exactly the way it is right now. Obviously, we are currently working on getting a redesign of the highway through there. That could have implications to the land uses around it. We did do the Gorst subarea plan back in 2012. That currently stands to date. That is a joint plan between the county and the city. The county and city are currently proposing that those plans stay in place as of right now while we address the transportation issue running through it. Now we're moving down into the area around the Bremerton National Airport, PSIC Bremerton. Here you'll, okay, getting a little touchy here. What you're seeing is a proposal by the Overton Company. They have submitted, they did testify, requesting to be located inside the urban growth area boundary. Here is where this area just to the north of it is where the Speedway is looking to be located. And then this area south of it is owned by the Skokomish tribe, and they are requesting commercial zoning. I do not know anything more about their plans other than the fact that they are looking for commercial. I think some of these uses, like Mr. Overton indicated, his request for industrial, the L-shaped industrial through here, is to ensure better compatibility with the racetrack. I think he has some concerns about noise, et cetera, maybe impacting residential areas, even rural residential areas. And then again, I don't have any more information about the Skokomish proposal.
What he was asking for in his materials was rural industry. I don't know.
I think he was asking for rural industrial. It again, much like the other property in Central Kitsap, this one abuts the UGA boundary.
Right.
Thus is not consistent with rural industrial. Whether he doesn't necessarily want to be required to put sewer on the property, that would be one of the distinctions between the two.
Yeah.
I'm not absolutely certain.
So the proposal on the alternative, though, is it a rural?
These are going inside the urban growth area.
Okay.
So again, if you are adjacent to a UGA boundary and are requesting some kind of a commercial use and are not directly tied to a rural component, it just makes sense for you to be in urban. So, and obviously urban industrial is more intense than rural industrial. So for some reason, the planning commission or board elected to discuss it as something different, they could do so. And then lastly, the main area we have a certain amount of written testimony on in the Port Orchard UGA, which again is all the McCormick area and Port Orchard proper, is we have received testimony on alternative 3, which is the addition of land along Phillips Road moving down towards Lake Amelia. Is it possible to get the electric pointer? So this area down through here, this area in yellow is some additional developable property. There is a sewer line that runs down through there. There is a development, as you can note, located south of that. That is urban development. That was, again, much like Sterling Heights, developed at the time when it was inside the urban growth area boundary and subsequently been removed. That being said, there are a number of farms in this area, as well as a number of other rural uses that even when they were inside the UGA, were not happy about being inside the UGA. They petitioned to get pulled out, and now they're seeing requests to come back in. And I think you're seeing a certain amount of testimony related to that. It is somewhat flat, dry land, as flat and dry as we kind of get. That being said, there is a certain amount of opposition. However, reviewing it for environmental impacts is important from staff's perspective. Are there any questions related to that or the addition on Sydney Sedgwick? This here is Sydney Sedgwick. Lowe's is located right here. These are the apartment complexes. This is an area, I'm sorry. This is an area in here that is the light blue that is looking to be included as urban industrial. That is the Yamamoto Nursery at this point, and they have been trying to get inside the urban growth area boundary, especially with the growth directly adjacent to it, for the last two times. It would be providing employment, which South Kitsap UGA does need, thus why it's included in alternative 3. I can go back to some of the descriptions that covered some of the policies that were we were currently talking about reviewing, if the Planning Commission would like to discuss those. Though I will say we did not get a substantial amount of testimony on any of the text changes. Entirely natural. Everybody gravitates to the colors on the map. That being said, I can go back to some of the policies that are being considered in these alternatives for people's perspectives, if that would be valuable to any of the Planning Commissioners.
No.
I fear I've worn you down.
Well, I just want to say that I think you've done a great job, Eric, of addressing the testimony we've heard in the past week, answering the questions that were raised and having answers. So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so with this, what we will do is we will we'll summarize the comments that we've had here today. A bulk of the commentary, again, was focused on the Barker Creek area as well as the Sterling Heights area. And then some of the other commentary will also be put. I got people taking notes online. And then from there, the Board of County Commissioners will be holding a public hearing on March 13th. If any of the planning commissioners want to testify at that, you can testify as yourself
Probably would be best to be testified as yourself versus as a planning commissioner, since you didn't make a recommendation. Hammer home your opinions, if you're concerned that the summary and the video won't accommodate. From there, the Board of County Commissioners may be making a decision on preliminary alternatives by March 22nd. However, I do want to indicate that the Department of Commerce is bringing forward a series of housing needs and housing guidance, which could direct our planning in a way that requires some amendments to these alternatives. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that there could be not only a recommendation or an encouragement, but a requirement for additional multifamily housing opportunities in our urban areas that currently are not adequately illustrated on our existing maps. We have gone in alternative to a lot of effort to create realistic futures for multifamily in places multifamily doesn't currently exist. Though the Kitsap County has historically been way behind in multifamily, the Commerce guidance is really pushing jurisdictions to try to catch up a lot faster. So try to undo 30 years of undersupply of multifamily in the next 20-year planning horizon. As you can assume from what I just said, that can be challenging and probably may be broader than some of the things that are currently considered. And if that comes forward, we may be back in front of you with a alternative 2A to take additional testimony. I guess one thing that I did, that this map does show to me that I did not mention, there was, I believe, some commentary on the Rainier proposal, the 400 something acres that was proposed for inclusion, for rezoning from one dwelling unit per 20 acres to one dwelling unit per 5. So again, that's about 400 and some acres and some rural commercial that is located up through here. A number of the tribes, as well as members of the environmental community, are concerned about that transition, especially so close to the existing Port Gamble Forest Heritage Park. I do expect that some testimony will be coming forward from the Rainier Company sometime in the future to further discuss exactly why they're looking for that. But again, much like these other green pieces that you see, operator error. Some of these other green proposals that you see here and here are, again, some of those other small changes. They look small. The downside is that we do have a lot of rural capacity. We have a very small rural growth target, and it's very unlikely any of those lots are going to fall into an affordable category. Again, most rural lots are relatively expensive. New development is relatively expensive. Thus, it's hard to shoehorn rural development into our improving our housing diversity and not potentially be viewed as just continuing our past growth patterns, for better or worse. With that, I really appreciate your time tonight. And okay. Are there any other questions or statements that would be important to have in this video for use by the Board of County Commissioners?
Well, now, will the staff's write-up and the video be available for preview?
Yes.
By the Planning Commission, so that we can determine if attending the board commissioners meeting will be beneficial.
Definitively.
Okay. All right, that leads into, thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time tonight, and I look forward to continuing these conversations.
Okay. Now, for the good of the order, that was our only business tonight. I will go over our current schedule that we have. We will not be having a meeting on March 6th, so there won't be a Planning Commission meeting. Okay, never mind. have to read this right. And then we will have a meeting on the 21st, critical areas ordinance update and a review of our annual report for the Planning Commission. On March 13th, the county commissioners will be meeting for the public hearing on the Kitsap County share of the Home American Rescue Plan. I believe Ms. Commissioner Beam brought that to our attention. And if you want to know more about that, there is a connection, or I believe we sent out a link to that. And then there is a right now, the March 17th, we're kind of 2 months ahead. We're tentatively planning a joint meeting with the Board of Commissioners.
That'd be April.
April 17th, sorry, or April 23rd. So those two dates. The unfortunate part about it is we hold those meetings in midday. So that makes it somewhat hard for some of the planning commissioners to attend. And okay, and then April 18th, we'll be doing a work study on the critical area ordinance. And we will also have training. We have plenty of new commissioners that have not received any training whatsoever. So in view of that, I recommended that we have it during a planning commission meeting so that we could all kind of get a refresher on the rules of being a commissioner and that. So, Commissioner Beam.
Question. You talked about this, no meeting on the 6th. 6th is a Monday.
Yeah, I think that was my error. It's the Board of Commissioners meeting is okay. The 6th. It'd be the 7th.
Can you publish that on our email?
That's going to be forwarded out to you.
Thank you.
And that everybody will receive that, just so you can kind of keep tabs on this. Any other for the good of the order? Nope. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. And second? Second. All right. All those in favor of adjourning for tonight? All right. Thank you. All right, and we will see you March 21st. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.